It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. The Bronx has a weight problem. 2 out of 3 people are either obese or overweight. And the list of cascading health problems seems to keep growing. Today, as part of our week-long series, Prescription for the Bronx, we look at food access, quality, and affordability. There are lots of people tackling these problems, but changing people's diets is harder than it looks. And as WNYC's Amanda Aronchuk found out, there are no quick fixes.
Let's start with access. In the past, it was difficult to get decent fruits and vegetables in some neighborhoods in the Bronx. Just ask Zena Nelson. She grew up in Williamsbridge and says she learned that from her grandparents, who were early foodies.
They looked at quality of food. They weren't, you know, like, oh, this is drizzled with hollandaise sauce. They were like, you know, is it good? Is it fresh? What vitamins are in it? Did you eat it with your wheat germ? They were those people.
They'd have to drive to Westchester or head below 79th Street to get meat without that glistening gasoline look that was on offer at their local store. As an adult, she tired of having to travel far to go get her groceries.
I was like, well, you know what? Have to go all the way downtown to haul bags home. Why can't I have something in the Bronx? Why do I always have to go to Westchester?
So in 2007, she formed the South Bronx Food Co-op. Her customers ranged from food enthusiasts to the diet conscious to curious kids. And it stayed afloat for a while, but there were always some locals who wouldn't shop there. She'd ask, why not?
And sometimes I would get an answer of, you know, you don't sell the things I'm used to, which is fair. Right, but the things that you're used to are making you sick. So let's have that conversation.
In 2010, amid infighting that led to shaky finances, the co-op closed. During that time, Nelson learned that solving food issues involved more than just bringing buckets of kale to the neighborhood. Several recent studies back that up. Increasing access to fruits and vegetables, which the Bronx has done, makes no difference in whether or not people actually eat it. And in a borough where 1 in 3 people have moved here from elsewhere, not everyone agrees that access to food is the entire problem.
When I speak to my friends who have immigrated from other countries, including my husband, they're like, the first thing they remember is going to the supermarket and seeing all this food. Like, oh my God, look at all this stuff. We always had a lot of food. It wasn't good food.
Which brings us to the next issue. Sure, you can get quantity, but Tanya Field says it's the quality that's the problem.
We are loading up my van with the produce and the tables and the literature.
She started the South Bronx Mobile Market last year to address some of the same problems as the food co-op.
People will go into the grocery store and say, what do you mean there's no produce in the hood? Look at this stuff, but take it home.
She says it barely lasts, or it's sitting in styrofoam.
And the top looked really nice. And then you took it out and you understand that the under it was nasty and moldy and soft. And so it's also about quality as well.
Tanya Fields is trying to reduce barriers to getting good quality food. After access, the next issue that the Bronx faces is affordability. Fields has been fundraising to reduce the cost of the produce she sells. Her interest in providing healthy and cheap food grew out of her own struggles.
Being a mother who was on welfare, feeding her kids the food stamps, working low-wage jobs, but had like a really good head on her shoulders, well-educated.
She quit her corporate job almost a decade ago and became an activist in her neighborhood. She says that at meetings in the community, she'd see people
feeding their kids soda out of a sippy cup, giving their kids Cheetos in the morning. Not because they were bad parents, you know. Some of them knew better, some of them didn't. But when you talk to them, it's like, well, this is what I can afford.
In the Bronx, almost 50% of families with kids receive food stamps, which is substantially more than the other boroughs. It is possible to get decent groceries with food stamps, but it's easier and faster to hit the local bodega or the McDonald's. Elvira Rella is a nutritionist for Urban Health Plan in the South Bronx. She blames the increase in fast food restaurants for the growing health problems.
20 years ago, I occasionally saw someone that was obese. Occasionally. Now, 2 out of every 3 patients that we see are either overweight or obese, have diabetes, have hypertension, have hyperlipidemia. Those 4 always come together, and the majority of our patients have those conditions.
She says that years ago there were lots of little shops and a local diner outside their doors on Southern Boulevard. But over the past 5 years, as the South Bronx experienced economic growth, the number of fast food chain restaurants went up too. Today they've got a Baskin-Robbins, a Checkers, Burger King. Cheap, ready-to-eat food is everywhere. So at the clinic where Rella works, they're trying to convince their patients that they can make quick, affordable food too in their long-forgotten kitchens.
I have seen some young mothers, very trendy looking. Specifically, I'm thinking of 1 year ago, educated, came in, two young children, and she told me, I don't know how to cook.
It was easier to get food outside at fast food restaurants.
When she left, I showed her how to boil the water, throw the pasta in, and I gave her a simple recipe for her to prepare at home.
So Urban Health Plan recently opened a demo kitchen.
Ta-da! So this is the demo table.
The idea is to host cooking classes like Abuela's Kitchen. And to teach people to cook the food they love, but healthier.
And this is where the cooking class starts.
2 weeks ago, in the same demo kitchen, the city's new health commissioner, Dr. Mary Bassett, addressed the media.
Good afternoon, and thanks to all of you for joining us to celebrate the work of Shop Healthy NYC.
She was there to highlight one of the city's latest initiatives, Shop Healthy NYC, a program to essentially convince bodega owners to promote healthy food, too.
Now, the ultimate health impact of these changes in the neighborhood bodegas and supermarkets may take some time.
The city has to be cautious in making claims about the impact of its programs, of which there are no small number. Green markets, green carts, the trans fat ban, the soda ban, healthy bucks, school gardens, salad bars in public schools, and the list goes on.
I think we should all remember how we got here, which was like maybe 100 calories extra a day over decades.
This crisis did take decades to make and might take years to undo, especially if our bodies are making it harder to lose the weight once we've gained it, as some studies are showing now. In researching this story, we looked for examples of communities across the country that had reduced obesity and could find none. And while some people hope the crisis has plateaued, a study last week from The Lancet argued that over the past 3 decades, there are no countries anywhere in the world that have managed to reduce obesity. None. Again, here's Zena Nelson.
You have to change people's minds, and that's the hardest thing. The hardest. The economic, the policy, the manufacturing, the business, operations. In time, you can do things, but people's minds, very difficult. And they like to go back to what they're comfortable with.
When it comes to food, there's simply no quick fix. For WNYC, I'm Amanda Aronchik.
We've been hearing how difficult it is to change people's diets and to turn around the numbers on obesity and weight issues. I'm here with Linda Lopez, co-founder of the Lopez Family Foundation. She and her sister, singer Jennifer Lopez, who you may have heard of, just launched the Center for a Healthy Childhood with Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. Research shows that even with the best efforts, we are not making a dent in obesity rates. What are you doing that's different, Linda?
We're trying to just get the message out there. We feel like with everything else, if the messages are all around you, if you hear them a lot, if they're in your media and they're in your community, that's what really makes the difference as far as changing the thought patterns, changing the choices, and changing the process.
Sometimes I feel like you cannot avoid messages about weight, especially if you're a woman, right? That can work against you. They're obsessed with your weight, with your looks. Mm-hmm. So how is your approach different? And why do you think even more messaging needs to get out there?
Because the messaging has to be about good health, about you being healthy and strong inside, your body being something that you take care of in a way that really serves your health and well-being, as opposed to what you look like or your weight.
Did you grow up in a house where your family cooked?
Food is very big in our family. We are Latino. We are Puerto Rican. Food, you know.
Beans, rice.
Rice,
pork.
Beans, pork, a lot of roasted pork, all of the really yummy stuff. And you know that culture is so important, and food is celebration in any culture. Mm-hmm. Food is a big part of life. And my mom was a phenomenal cook. My grandmother was a phenomenal cook. And giving us rice and beans and something fried, some kind of fried meat every day, was good sense to them. Mm-hmm. They thought they were feeding us in a very healthy way that was making us very healthy and strong. You know, to learn different patterns, that came later in life.
Now, you and your sister, incredibly fit, but do you have obesity issues in your family?
We have relatives who have health issues, for sure.
Diabetes.
Around stuff like that. And as you know, in the Bronx, which is our community, our home borough, those issues are prevalent, particularly in the Latino community. Mm. And that's something we really wanted to see if we could help address.
Why are you launching this initiative now?
You know, because we just, as I said, we wanted to do something about the biggest health issue in the Bronx. Our foundation has focused on a lot of other programs that have been a little more international, even though the first place we started was Puerto Rico. And it was, again, because it's someplace that's close to our hearts, that means something to us. And the next place, of course, that means something to us is the Bronx.
Now, do you think that there could be a disconnect, though, all that messaging and Bronx families wanting to add more fruits and vegetables, and then they go to their local bodega and nothing's there but, you know, plantains and canned Dole pineapple slices
and
sugar? Well,
plantains are not unhealthy necessarily. That's not a bad thing. We can bake plantains too. But we're not aiming to, you know, change all the choices overnight. And we certainly don't want to change culture. We love the culture. We are the culture. And we feel like if we can just get the message across that the healthiest things are something you can do 70, 80, 90% of the time. If you don't get it perfect 100% of the time, that's okay. And to keep that cultural part of your food and cooking and the way you celebrate with your family, that's great too. But it's about being conscious as much as you can of having fruits, of having vegetables, of having the healthy foods make up the bulk of what you do.
Specifically, this Center for a Healthy Childhood with Montefiore, what are you hoping it accomplishes? What's the goal there?
Well, Montefiore is a great health system. They take care of people when they're sick, and they're one of the best-known hospitals in the Bronx. What we want to do with the center is let everyone know that they have a place to come before that happens, a place where they can actually come to learn to be healthy. What are the best practices? What can I do for my family and feed my kids? And how can we be active? It's about keeping those messages out there. As you know, we're really passionate about helping the Latino community. And in the Bronx and nationwide, the Latino community is the one that has the highest number of uninsured people. They lack health insurance. So if there are resources and just places that they can go to learn the things they need to keep healthy, that would be a great thing to accomplish.
So we're talking free cooking classes. We're talking
Everything from nutrition.
Consultation on nutrition.
There's a great program that already exists there called Be In Fit, actually, that we're putting under the center's umbrella. And it helps teenagers who are already dealing with obesity learn how to eat better, learn how to actually make themselves foods that are the healthier foods and the healthier choices. And then it deals with other issues as well. They're not only saying, come here and don't eat this, eat an apple.
Right.
We're going to talk to you about why this might be the case. So we're really excited about those kinds of programs being there.
Linda Lopez is co-founder of the Lopez Family Foundation with her sister Jennifer. They just launched the Center for a Healthy Childhood with Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. Thanks so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
This is WNYC.